We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Alicia Cohen. Alicia is the founder and creative director of Lish Creative. It's a content agency for vibrant lifestyle and hospitality brands. Since starting the company in 2016, Alicia and her team have created content for some of the world's leading brands, including Nickelodeon, Nestle, General Mills, Facebook, Dunkin' Donuts, Delta Airlines, and Benefits Cosmetics. On today's episode, we covered a lot of ground. We're talking about how Alicia taught herself to take photos and create engaging content for social media. In this episode, she shares her favorite photo editing apps, her photo shoot strategies, including why you need a shoot list, and she talks about what's working and not working on social media today. We also talk about how she grew her own business through determination, grit, how she has now moved from having an in-person team to a virtual team, and all of the challenges that go along with that. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, Alicia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. So a fun fact for those that are listening, you and I met several years ago at Heather Crabtree's Savvy Experience. It was a conference that she put on in 2016, which you and I both spoke at. And I really enjoyed your talk about, you talked about strategic social media and photos, and some of which we're going to dive into some of that here today. So thank you again for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's kick this off by telling everyone what you do and what a content agency is. Like, how did you create this and what do you do?
Sure. So I'm the founder and creative director of Lish Creative, which is my content agency. And we produce photo, video, and stop motion content for different beauty, lifestyle, and hospitality brands. So anything you see on a brand's Instagram, their website, even banners at trade shows, we provide imagery for all of those things.
Very cool. How did you get into this field? What were you doing before that?
I was working in advertising, more on the account side, actually, on PR, copywriting, that kind of thing. But I always wanted to do more of a creative career. So I started posting on Instagram as a way to build my portfolio to get a job in the advertising industry. Mm-hmm. And I was just using my phone, taking pictures of fun, colorful things that brought me joy. And pretty soon, it was right in like the rise of Instagram, the heyday, if you will, where brands were just like hungry for content. So people started reaching out to me, asking me to take photos for them. And at the time, I didn't even know how to work a camera. Like, I was literally only using my iPhone.
Oh my gosh.
I just never, I never said no. And I just hired people to help me, took online courses to learn, and just it went from there.
You know, the grit of your story really stood out to me as I was reading your bio of how you said yes to projects just to gain experience and you use the equipment that you had on hand. You know, have you always been driven like that? Have you always been self-motivated and teaching yourself things like that?
Yeah, definitely, even from a young age, but especially like when you're in a corporate job that you hate, I think it gives you a little added motivation.
Oh, yes.
And my now husband, who I was dating at the time when I started my business, he had moved to Los Angeles for school, for med school. And so that was also like a big motivator, like, okay, you need to like start doing your own thing so that you can move and get away from this agency job.
Yeah. So when you started, I assume it was just you. I assume you started small and handled projects yourself. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your team a little bit later on in the interview, but it has now grown into a full agency. Did you know when you started doing this on your own that you eventually wanted it to be this larger agency model?
Yeah, I think that that was always the goal. It was just about getting enough work to support that. Mm-hmm. Because I think when you can bring on different team members that specialize in different areas, you're ultimately producing better work for your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so you've worked with some very large brands, Nickelodeon, Nestle, General Mills, Facebook, Delta Airlines, Dunkin' Donut, just a few of the major brands you've worked with. You mentioned they found you on Instagram, some of them. I assume you pitch some of them too. Is that how do you find these big name clients and how do you team up with them?
Yeah. So at the beginning, I think Instagram was definitely the primary way that brands found me. And I think it still is a large way that people find me. We pitch occasionally. I would like to do more pitching. That's definitely, it's always kind of on my list of if you get time, pitch these brands.
Right.
But we'll pitch around certain occasions. For my wedding, for instance, this wasn't really an agency project, but as a personal quote unquote influencer project, we pitched quite a few brands to sponsor pieces of the wedding. And that was an example of that. And then also, as you go on year after year, all of these people working at these companies, they kind of move around and they get new jobs. And if it's a big company like Nickelodeon, my name has kind of spread throughout that company. So we now do work for all different areas of Nickelodeon. So that's just an example of how when you do good work, it's also a lot of word of mouth.
Totally. Two things came to mind as I was listening to you. First, I talk a lot about relationships on this podcast and in my programs about how businesses are built on relationships. And that is a really great example of how the contacts you make on a project today may lead to additional work down the road. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is it dawned on me too, your portfolio is online because everything is on Instagram. And so putting out good work, putting out good quality work consistently and over again for different brands as well as your own, I can see why people are coming to you and why it's more, you're not having to do as much pitching because it's on display for the world to see.
Yeah. And we only put out the kind of work that we want to come in. And I tell that to people every day. If they ask me, what's the number one tip, is only do the work and only put out the work you want to be doing.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a way of positioning yourself. And so by putting out bright, colorful work for beauty, lifestyle, and hospitality brands and sticking to that very strict, even if there's times when we did work at the beginning for brands that didn't fit that profile, we just didn't share it.
Yeah.
And so by doing that, you attract brands that fit that mold.
I'm over here nodding my head ferociously. Yes. I 100% agree with you. And that, listeners, pay attention to that because it's important for your product-based business as well as service-based businesses. Put out what you want to come back in. So earlier you used the term influencer, and I'm just curious, this is me being nosy. Do you consider yourself a brand ambassador or an influencer since you are active and engaged on social, or do you see your role as more behind the scenes for the brands you're working with?
Well, I mean, 80% of what I do on a daily basis is behind the scenes for the brand. Mm-hmm. But then there's that 20% where I actually am hired as a quote unquote influencer. I sign contracts that say influencer agreement. So I have to kind of take on that term as much as I don't like it and think that it has a negative connotation. I am contractually obligated to share on behalf of brands. Therefore, I'm technically considered a quote-unquote influencer, but not on every project.
No, and I didn't mean that in a negative way. I just, social media is evolving so quickly and there's different roles that people are playing and different ways that we can get involved. And I know too, your business is one thing and then your personal feed is another as well. So, but I was just curious what your thoughts were there.
Yeah, no one loves the term, but what else do you call it?
Right? Yeah.
Like one of those things. What do you name it? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Good question. $1 million question, I suppose. So, content development and social media are always evolving and changing. I'd love to find out from you, what do you feel is working well right now in the online space? And then kind of what's no longer working that worked in the past?
Video is definitely doing extremely well. That's everything from on stories and in the feed posts. I think that's the best way to get the most eyeballs on your content is to share a video.
Okay.
The still photos just aren't performing like they used to, unfortunately. And I think a little more authentic behind the scenes content, especially on Instagram stories, is doing really well as also.
Very cool. I assume you're not only creating the content for your clients, but then you're also you know, measuring success of it? And what kind of metrics are you tracking and how do you do that?
Well, we actually mainly just hand off the content the brand social team. So we used to do a little bit more of the management side of things, but that's kind of like a whole nother can of worms that we just don't get into anymore. You find what you like and what you don't. And the management was definitely something that wasn't my cup of tea. So we kind of just hand it off. Don't really worry about the metrics too much.
Well, awesome. I think it's great that you know what your area of expertise is and what you enjoy doing, and you're able to just say, nope, this is what we do exclusively. Well, majority of our listeners, as you know, are small business owners. They sell physical products. Most of them work alone or with a very small team, and so they're juggling a lot. But I would love for you, you have such a beautiful way of taking photos. What advice do you have for those who are taking their own photos and maybe they're where you were when you were starting out using their iPhone and they don't have a lot of, you know, fancy gear? What kind of tips would you want to provide them?
Sure. So definitely take time out of your schedule to have like a photo shoot day or a content day, whether that's every month. Maybe you have time to do it once a week or biweekly. But that's going to be really important so that you don't feel like you're just taking photos on the fly. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the photo shoot mindset and you want to have all of your props and supplies ready to go. And so I would recommend making a shot list before the shoot so that you know exactly what you want to capture. Maybe you need product images for your new line coming out, or maybe you have a promotion coming up or holidays coming up that you want to grab content for. So outline all of those things. And when you're outlining those things, also think about the backgrounds that you want to pair them with. So what are your brand colors? Are there certain lifestyle settings that you always use? So maybe it's like a desktop or a kitchen, and be consistent with your settings and the backgrounds that you're using. Definitely try to use natural light. You can use a foam board to bounce the natural light to brighten it up even more. And then to top it off, always use your mobile editing apps. I like to use Snapseed for selective brightness. And then I also use a color story. That's a really quick way to throw some filters on there. If there's something that you want to remove in a photo, I recommend the retouch app.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll definitely include those links in our show notes so people can find those easily. Hey, friends, I know you wear a lot of hats as a small business owner. And while some of those hats are pretty great, others like filing your taxes and running payroll, those aren't so great. And that is where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for all of us small business owners. They have fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add on health benefits or even 401ks for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way we're doing small business work today. But Gusto is. And now is the best time to get set up for the new year. Listeners of Proof to Product get 3 free months when they run their first payroll. Try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/proof. That's gusto.com/proof. I mean, you learned all this as you went, right? Like, what mistakes did you make in the early days that you wish you could have gone back now and told yourself, don't do this or do this?
All the mistakes. I mean, from not knowing how to like focus my camera properly to, you know, not knowing anything about lighting. I used all natural light at first, which I think works great. But now obviously I use strobe lighting and it's more professional setup. But yeah, I think just learning how to use the more professional setup earlier would have been helpful. Yeah. And then I think it's important, especially with styling. It's unbelievable how much trial and error can go into one shot. So don't expect like when you put the notebook and the pens and the cup of coffee down on a desktop, don't expect like your first try to be awesome. Try like rearranging things, tilting them slightly, you know, 5-10 different times until you find one that you think looks best. And when you're really starting out, you can even look at examples of photos that you really like so that just like as a way to spatially place things that will sometimes help by looking at layouts that you liked and try to emulate them.
That's a really great point, to look at photos you like. Do you ever create like Pinterest boards of things you like, or, you know, directions you want to head into just to, before you do your photo shoots with different brands?
Yeah, sometimes I look into Pinterest if I'm really stuck on a concept, you know, like if it's a notebook, right? How can we represent a notebook in a different way other than on a desk or in a kitchen or something? So Pinterest can be really helpful to get ideas, especially with like color palettes and things too.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like it muddies the water though, in terms of creating, I don't want to say people are replicating other people's work, but do you feel like there's a line between inspiration and replication, right? So like—
Totally.
What are your thoughts there?
So I think like with a flat lay, if you're doing it with your own unique products, with your own unique background colors, with your own props, I think that's fine. I think you get into tricky places where it's like the same pink background with the same pair of scissors, with the same keyboard, you know, and I've seen that happen. So I think trying using it as like a placement, almost like a placemat guide, like an outline. Think of it like as a kid's outline of a placemat where do you put the fork? Where do you put the knife or whatever? Right. Kind of like using it like that as a template, but then customizing it for your brand.
That's awesome. One of the things you mentioned earlier is having a shot list. And I wanted to bring that back up because that is something that was a mistake I made early on in my product business of like, I had a photographer, I paid for a photographer to come, and then I didn't quite know what I wanted from it. I didn't have a goal in mind. I knew I needed all of our new product shot. I knew I wanted stuff for our catalog, but I also wanted stuff for social media. But I didn't have that shot list to go through to make sure. And once you get into it, I remember being like, did we shoot this one? I don't remember if we shot this one. And, you know, he could go back and look, but it was, I don't know. I felt like when I did start to get myself more organized and had props ahead of time and had a list of things. And we do this with our Paper Camp conference too. So service-based businesses that might be listening, you need this too. You know, like you want to know what you're going to be using these photos for and what the goal is, and then have a list of everything you want to capture so you don't forget anything. That was my big mistake. I kept forgetting things because I didn't have a list.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, honestly, if you look at our client journey that we have with each person, 80% of the work is the pre-work, is the shot list and everything. So don't underestimate the time that needs to go into that, and be so specific. Like you said, even write down the aspect ratios that you need for each image. Like, we ask our clients, you know, what products do they want to feature? What are the primary messaging points that you want this concept to get across? What are the aspect ratios that you need for it? So
explain that really part specific to me. What are aspect ratios, like up close or further back? Is that what you mean?
That would be like 1:1 for Instagram.
Gotcha.
Or I need a 16:9 banner for my website.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So many questions swirling in my head. I think I want to switch gears a little bit to talk about your team, because you recently relocated from LA to the Midwest, but you have an agency, you have a team. So first off, how many people do you have and what roles do they play within your agency?
So even though I consider it like my agency team, everyone is still a contractor.
Nice.
It just helps us be a little more nimble and can scale up or back depending on how busy we are. And so we have an art director, two different editors that we use, and then I'm the primary creative director. So that's kind of the core team. Sometimes we also use a project manager if we have a lot going on that everybody's getting crazy, lots of balls in the air.
Right.
And then we have like your normal bookkeeper, accountant, financial planner, all that stuff. But
all the adulting tasks that we need to do within the business.
None of us like.
You know, going from having most people, well, you said they're contractors. Were they virtual when you were in LA too? Or have they been in person?
No, they weren't. They were in person in LA, and now they're more remote workers. I added a social media manager also. I forgot to mention that role. So that has been like to post for me and interact for me and to do all the stuff that I know is important, but none of us really want to do. So
Yeah. Well, what challenges have you faced by now moving everyone to a virtual role? Have you had to create new systems and strategies there?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is like explaining to clients like why I'm in Ohio, but their product's being shipped to Los Angeles. I think yeah. That's pretty confusing because what it is I take some projects and then my art director, Callie, takes some projects. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of split it up based on workload. There's some things that she's really good at, some things that I'm better at, some things that I just want to do more.
Yeah.
Some things I don't want to do as much. And so we kind of split it up that way. And it's just like balancing, okay, does she have too much on her plate? Do I need to take more? And same with the editors too. It's like, okay, this one's loaded up. Let's go to the next one. So yeah. Just figuring out like who has the most time and who can fit in the work.
It can be challenging. My entire team is remote as well. And we use Asana to maintain like all of our projects and our podcast and everything we're doing. We use Slack to communicate, you know, online. So we've got a record of it. I try to keep my team out of our inboxes just because it gets so muddied with other things.
Yeah, so true.
But it's tough to do the virtual thing, especially when you've been in person. And the type of work you do does require, like, it's tactile. It's, you know, real in-person, yeah, high touch.
It is. And that's why the shot list is so important, because it has to be so detailed that I can literally hand it to my art director and she execute it. Like, that's how detailed it has to be. So that's really forced us to break it down even further.
Totally. You mentioned a few minutes ago that you hired a social media manager to help you do all the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, but don't necessarily want to do. You, as I mentioned at the beginning, like you did a whole talk on how to be strategic with social media. And we talked about how things have changed. But what are, in your opinion, and this is just your opinion, what are the things that we all need to be doing on social media to stay relevant and stay engaged with our audience and create that conversation?
So I think the most important thing is being consistent. And I was really good at that at the beginning. And as years went on, obviously your business grows and you feel like you don't have time for social media.
Yeah.
But it is so important to continually post and to continually interact with your community, whether that's reactively, you know, when someone comments, responding to a comment, and also proactively, you know, going out there and finding people that may like what you're doing and interacting with them.
Yeah. I think that's hugely important too. I think too, there's, you know, much more of a swing lately towards authenticity and sharing the behind the scenes. I know authenticity is getting a little bit overused at times, but just showing who we truly are and showing the people behind the brands. I think it's interesting. One thing I face on social media quite a bit is like, I think people think my business is a lot larger than it is. It's myself and a handful of contractors. And I want people to realize we're a small business just like them. And, you know, we just have one area of specialty that's, you know, we have our area of expertise. And so I do think it gets challenging as your business grows in terms of volume and what you're doing and what you're creating. And there's perception stuff there too. Have you struggled with some of the perception stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think people just assume that we're a really large agency and not contractors, and that I have this like fancy office and stuff. And meanwhile, it's like my garage.
Right. Me too.
Or like, yeah, or like my studio in LA was a live work studio. So like I lived there with my now husband. It was 850 square feet. We had people over every day. Like we had products coming in every day, build it like piling up. So yeah, it's a lot different than what you see on the internet. That's for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, and I want us to be transparent about that kind of stuff. But I was just, you know, at the same time, how much do you share and how much do you not share? And so
it's going hard down a little tangent because you want to look professional, right? So I make everything look perfect on the internet, but behind the scenes isn't always that way.
Right. And that's true of everyone. Everyone listening right now has those hot mess days or projects or whatever it is. This is total sidebar, but I recently read an article about social media sabbaticals, and I thought it was really interesting because as people, you and I both, that live online and do our business online, like I was curious, how do you make time to recharge and step away from the online sphere to like truly...
You hire the social media manager.
True.
I mean, this is the thing, because like you can't step away. Like, I truly believe that it's important to keep pumping out content and keep staying consistent if you want to stay busy. I've seen it firsthand. Like, you take a little break, it affects your engagement, whatever. I mean, it's not all about the numbers, but showing up online is so important. Yeah. And just showing that you're actively creating, actively working. And so for me, like, that was really taxing on my mental health to be online so much. So yeah. I just made the decision to train somebody to do most of that work for me. So now if I feel like I want to look at stories or whatever, I can, but I also know that it's handled if I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, what is next for you and Lish Creative?
We are getting more into the educational space. So we're going to do more corporate training. So teaching brands and their internal teams how to create their own content instead of hiring us to do everything.
Nice. But you're still going to keep up the creative side of it, right? The content creation.
Yeah, totally. It just is a way to adapt to the needs of clients, because hiring an agency for every piece of content that you put out there is extremely expensive for these brands. So by teaching their internal teams, you know, to kind of supplement the work that we're doing, or even to replace the work that they're having to pay an agency to do, it'll just help them maintain consistency. And we're really just adapting to the need for more content.
Awesome. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your work, see what your agency is up to, or maybe hire you for work?
You can find me on Instagram at alishilishi and lishcreative.com.
Awesome. We will include that in the show notes too, so people can find you. Thank you so much for your time, for sharing your story, and for sharing your strategies with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proof2product.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.